Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by BetterHelp. You guys, listeners of Real Ghost Stories Online, can get 10% off your first month. Go to betterhelp.com/ghost stories. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what happens when a child's toy takes on a life of its own, with or without batteries?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. And yes, 855-853-4802, our phone number to call and share your real ghost story with us, or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want in on getting the best ghost stories we got, then become an EPP, an extra podcast person. That's a supporter of the show. You get 300-some bonus episodes, because we've been putting them out every single week for the last 300-some weeks. Literally, 300-some weeks. It just seems crazy to me. But you get all of those. You also get access to advanced episodes of the program, the regular set that we put out during the week, but you get it commercial-free, and you get it weeks before everybody else. You also get, of course, our archive of episodes, and those are commercial-free, too. Video content, extra stuff. It's all there. It's only $5 a month. You support us. You keep us on the air, and then in turn, we give you just tons and tons and tons of extra stuff as a thank you. You can sign up, like I said, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's $5 a month. And if you want to get 1 month free of that, then sign up for an annual membership, which you can now do on Patreon as well, which I've seen a lot of people doing in the last couple of weeks. You can either sign up at ghostpodcast.com. We've always had the annual option there. And now Patreon offers it as well. You get a month free there if you want to sign up for the annual. That's patreon.com/realghoststories. We do appreciate you supporting the program and keeping us on the air. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I found you Crunchers online, so I'll have to place that order here shortly.
Thank you.
The potato chip.
I love my jalapeno crunchers.
That's exactly what I found. I didn't even know that they still made them anymore. Anyway, something I was reading recently, and it's not like official or like they've set a date for demolition or anything. In fact, the place is still open, as far as I know, during COVID, or I don't know what the hell their schedule is. But it has not announced to be officially closed or demolished yet, but usually when you hear rumors about buildings that are kind of on their last legs in this city, they tend to come to fruition. I kind of morbidly watch this over the years. I'm talking about the Luxor in Las Vegas.
Oh, really?
The big pyramid hotel.
Yeah.
And I remember when they built the place. Mm-hmm. But as Las Vegas does, they kind of go through buildings. And when things are old, they go down. And there's a lot of rumblings that that's kind of getting towards the end of its life and its novelty and all of that. I mean, it's been what, 25 years at least?
Oh, at least. It's probably closer to 30, just because, yeah. You know,
we were little.
Yeah. That was very cool when they built it, but now it's kind of like, oh, that's so 80s.
Yeah. It was kind of like the time, like, when Chevy Chase was doing a Vegas Vacation.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at that. And it was part of the time when Las Vegas was going, they were in the early 90s, they were trying to make it a family destination. And I'm getting to ghosts here, so bear with me.
Okay.
And ghosts are part of what I'm talking about with the Luxor. When they built it, they were trying to do like this whole Vegas is a family friendly place. And there was actually across the street from it over at the MGM, they had an amusement park, mm-hmm. which is now gone. Mm-hmm. And there's MGM condos there. And there's like little tidbits here and there that you can kind of, I love urban decay or just seeing what was once. And there's little bits and pieces here around Vegas that like were from that era. Luxor being one of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, my point being, the exhibit there, the Titanic exhibit, mm-hmm. still there. Mm-hmm. Been there for God knows how long,
a long time.
At least since the movie. Mm-hmm. I think it was like one of the original places where they did the permanent exhibit. But that thing is haunted as hell, and lots of stories about it. And I'm just wondering, you know, you take that down, are the go? Where do the ghosts go? I suppose they go with whatever objects are being displayed there as they move to another location.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine they just pick the Luxor because, you know, it the recreations of things.
Yeah. No, they didn't just pick the Luxor. They're tied to things. So they're going to go with whatever has been there. But, I mean, haven't they also showcased, like, mummy collections and things there, too?
Yeah.
Because of the pyramid shape of the building? So, yeah, let's double dose haunt this hotel.
Do you think that the hauntings, and we're going to talk about some of the hauntings of the Luxor a little bit later on in the show, and some of the accounts of what's going on with the Titanic exhibit. But do you think there's anything to do? I mean, obviously, you have a Titanic exhibit and you have exhibit of items from a tragedy. The Titanic exhibit in Branson, the Titanic exhibit in Pigeon Forge, they all have their own ghost stories, too. Mm-hmm. But do you think that because of the shape of that building, that has anything to do with making it more active than others? Do you think that it actually kind of acts as a battery, amping up the spiritual energy in the building? I know there's a lot of belief systems or theories of the real pyramids that were made, you know, for the pyramid, whatever. I don't think we even know the true exact meaning of why they were built. But there's a lot of theories of it was a power plant or it was designed to harness energy and things like that. And obviously it did have, you know, 700 hotel rooms in them, but Luxor does. But the shape, do you think that the physicality of the building has anything to do with its, you know, it's you know, being known for being haunted and being almost a battery of ghosts compared to other buildings on the Strip?
I'm not going to say yes and I'm not going to say no because I've not delved into, you know, the meaning of the pyramid throughout different cultures and things like that and why they were built, you know, because, I mean, it was more than just in Egypt. There was, you know, the Mayans built pyramids. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of pyramids all over the world, and I don't know what their thought, you know, was with why building that. So I don't know the significance of the shape, if it does harness more energy or not. So I don't honestly know. I think you know, you would still have your classic hotel haunting stories there. But I think when you throw a Titanic exhibit into a hotel, then you're going to have a lot more. And I think that might be the reason that hotel is so haunted.
Did that also adding into it the energy of just the people, you know,
sure.
They're on vacation. They're all, I mean, it's Las Vegas. And then you have row after row after row of essentially computers everywhere, meaning the slot machines, meaning the all of that. I mean, all the electronic activity that goes on, all this, you know, just that place is wired. You know, it. I just wonder how much that plays into it.
Could be.
No, I don't know. I just thought. We'll talk about some of the stuff from the exhibit here and some of the occurrences that people have had. In just a little bit. First, let's go over to our first ghost story that was written in at 855-853-4802 or at realghoststoriesonline.com. Letter says, it was November 17th, 2018, when the creepiest thing happened to me. Technically, it happened the night before, but I did not fully realize it until that morning. I should start off by saying that I live in a house that my great-grandfather built. It's about 30 years old, and he ended up dying there. It's very much believed within my family that his spirit remains. There have been instances of seeing figures, hearing the floor creak when nobody is around, or objects being lost forever and suddenly popping up in plain sight, none of which I had experienced myself. I'm the second to the youngest one in my family. My little sister had a hand-me-down toy that I played with. It was one of those alphabet-type toys where when you press the letter, the toy says the letter or the animal or the object pictured. In our living room was a toy box, and in it, that toy was under a few others. I was sitting in our recliner before getting up to get a drink. When I stood up, the toy had gone off as if someone pressed the on button. Neither of us thought anything of it. Maybe it was a toy that had slipped and pressed the button. So I walked over to the toy box, pulled the toy out, turned it off, and then placed it on top of the other toys. After getting my drink, I go off to bed, and it's not thought about again. I had school. I was waking up at about 5 in the morning. My mom would always be up before me because my sister has always woken up early. At the time, she was 5. I sit down in my recliner again for a moment and try to wake up, then stand so I can finish getting ready. When I do so, the toy goes off again. My mom and I look at each other, and I get the chills. Remember, the toy is sitting atop of all the other ones, so there's not anything on top of it. After this, I get a theory, decide to test it. I sit down on the chair, wait for a second, then stand, and once again, the toy goes off. I go grab the toy and set it down in the middle of the living room. Testing my theory again, I sit in the chair, and almost immediately, I stand back up. Again, the toy goes off. Now, we knew that the toy would go off after sitting, then standing from the recliner. In the process, I have my little sister sit in the chair and get up so I can record the instance. For her, it took a few seconds before going on. Afterward, I take a video of myself holding the toy, so it shows nobody touching it or the buttons. Stand up, goes off instantly. After all this, we remove the batteries and test them, and the toy does not go off, and we leave it at that. After I got home from school that day and my dad is home from work, I tell him of our experience. He doesn't believe me, so I put the batteries back in the old toy and I showed him. Just like it did with my little sister, it takes a second, but the toy goes off. That was the one time it went off for him. And that was the last time it went off at all. Afterward, we had been so creeped out that we ended up burning the toy. Back to the stories in just a moment. First, I need to thank our supporter today, BetterHelp. Obviously, there's a lot going on in our world right now. Add on top of that, your personal life. Yeah. And then try to stay okay. It's not always the easiest thing, but BetterHelp is here for you wherever you are. If there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp is here to be a voice for you, to be someone you can talk to help you through whatever it is that is troubling you. And don't be afraid to admit it. We all got this stuff going on. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist you can start communicating with in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. Technology, right? Great thing. Tons and tons of expertise out there available through BetterHelp, which may not be locally available to you in many areas, and it is available to you worldwide. You log into your secure account anytime and message your counselor. You get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can even schedule weekly video or phone sessions. No waiting in those waiting rooms or anything like that, like traditional therapy. Plus, here's another thing I love about it. It is much more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available for you as well. So there's no, well, let's get this approved through insurance, and that'll take 10 weeks or whatever, you know, insanity that the insurance company wants to throw your way. Speaking from experience, they're just there. They're ready to help. And if you need some help, you feel like you want some help, don't be ashamed. Do it. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy to you and free to change counselors if need be, too. So check it out for yourself. There's tons and tons of reviews on their website. I always do that. I always look at reviews of anything before I get into it. But here's an example of one. It says, Melinda has been incredibly helpful and an amazing therapist. Not only is she very easy to talk to, she offers space that's very welcoming and comfortable. In just a few sessions, she's already been able to help me a lot and has given me resources to help me in different areas of my life. I highly recommend Melinda and am grateful that I've been able to work with her. That's one of thousands of people saying how BetterHelp has helped them. Okay. Visit betterhelp.com/ghost stories. That's Better H-E-L-P. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people are using BetterHelp right now. They're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Right now, you guys, listeners of Real Ghost Stories Online, get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/ghost stories.
Could it have just been the vibration of the floor of the getting up from a sitting position possibly triggering the toy? I'm not trying to debunk, but I know a lot of times light switches and things will, you know, activate those toys, but I'm just wondering how sensitive they are if that's something that maybe just that slight movement of, you know, you, when you go from a sitting to a standing position, could that have done that?
I'm going to say something, and I want the writer to brace themselves. It is Satan. Your home is infested, and it's never going to get... I'm kidding. I'm actually going to say what I think it is. And we don't really debunk on this show. I totally believe this experience happened to you 100%, but sometimes there are very... I don't want to say very obvious, but sometimes there are completely explainable situations that once you understand them, you go, oh, well, that was creepy, but that does make sense. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very, very likely it's an electromagnetic field thing in their house. Essentially, some wiring is kind of wonky in the walls.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you have these fields. And those fields can trigger those toys. Sometimes those fields are triggered when you flip a light switch. We had that mm-hmm. in our house with a toy. It was a Melissa and Doug
puzzle
toy. And it was doing exactly what they were saying was happening, except it was when we flipped a light switch. And this toy was in a toy box on the other side of the room from the light switch I was switching. And we found it very weird until we realized that's what triggered it. Here, they have figured out the cause and effect already of stand up, sit down in this very position, in this very specific spot. They are interrupting a circuit or a field of some sort that is in tune with this toy.
Yeah.
And when they break that circuit, it's telling the toy, somehow it's triggering the toy. Something in there is saying, play. It's not paranormal. It's shitty electric. Very likely more than anything else. It could also be static electric, where you're interrupting that field and it's just enough to kind of go wonky with the electronics on that toy and make it run. I would put money on that this toy is one of the more modern pull down, and then it's just triggered by a microchip and that's what's playing it. If she were to come back and tell me that this toy is one of the old ones that literally played on a small record inside of the toy, then we got something else going on.
Right.
Because that's not triggered by electricity. And this thing has a battery. Those old ones did not.
Yeah.
The old ones I loved because you could pull it down and then it would like, the cow goes moo. But if you could also highlight the one you wanted to and then reverse it and turn the arrow in reverse and be like, Yoshukao. So it sounded like Satan was playing, was talking about farm animals. And I loved doing that because it sounded so creepy. But for the last 25 years, they have not been making them that way. So that's very likely what that was. And I, sorry if it makes you feel like you don't have a ghost story there, but I'm going to say 99% that's probably what you had going on.
I agree.
So thank you for the story. And I'd love to hear more, but hopefully maybe that brings some comfort. Maybe that brings disappointment. I don't know. But that's having such a similar personal experience. That's where I would put my money on what I think was happening there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to the next letter. It says, we lived in a haunted house in Nebraska. I knew immediately that they were not alone in that house. One afternoon, right after we moved in, I was brushing my hair in a mirror and I felt a cold breeze and all the hair on my neck stood up. A figure of a man with a hat on was standing right behind me. He was only there for a second or two. When I turned around, he tipped his hat to me, kind of to say, howdy, ma'am. And he just fades away. That was my first encounter with him. It was a rural, small town where everyone knew each other. The town people would say to us, oh, you moved to Sam's house. We didn't know who Sam was. So I asked my cousin, who in turn took us to meet Sam's distant relative. As soon as I walked into their home, I noticed antique photographs that were hanging on the wall. And lo and behold, there was a photo of the man, Sam, that I had seen at my home. His relative said that there was no way that I could have seen Sam because he died in the 1940s. His relative told us that Sam built that house, raised his family there, and he died in the living room of that home. with all his family at his bedside. So we could see why he was so attached to that house. He was a mischievous spirit. He'd randomly come and visit. Sam let us know when he was there. He'd flip channels on the TV by the dial. He'd turn on the faucet in the kitchen, ding the microwave, open and shut cabinets, go up and down squeaky stairs. He even scared out the lazy fat cat. The cat was sleeping on the floor, and suddenly the cat would jump straight up with feet going and run out of the room fast. Sam visited all our family gatherings. You can see him in several photos. The living room where he died always had a feeling of heaviness and sorrow. We knew that Sam was watching over his home. We did not mind him hanging around. We believed that he was also watching over our three children as he watched over his. One day, I told my husband to grab the camera because I felt Sam's presence around me. After we got the photos developed, you can see Sam forming right beside me. We always saw a blue mist in our photos that we've taken over the years in that house, and we believe it was Sam. We have lots of memories of that home, including our friendly ghost, Sam.
So, I'm sure Sam stayed with this house, but doesn't it kind of make you sad when you leave a friendly ghost?
I would.
I would be sad. I would feel like I'm leaving a friend behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people who feel that way, where there's like, it's not like some sort of weird, dark connection that sometimes people will talk about where they'll be like, oh, it's, you know, something evil trying to draw you. And like, no, I just think it's paranormal. But once you're around it every single day of your life for most of your life, it's no longer paranormal to you. It's normal. It's part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So if that goes away, that changes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it stays, you know, in a good light, if you will. Yeah, I think you would certainly miss it. Yeah, thanks for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Okay, so let's talk about the Titanic exhibit, because we're both obsessed with Titanic and it's always fun to talk about Titanic. So that exhibit at the Luxor, as we were saying earlier, I don't know if it's open right now with COVID or whatnot, but I know it's still at the Luxor. One of the bigger things here that I'm finding about the lady that appears on the grand staircase there. I didn't remember seeing a grand. I guess did you ever go to that exhibit?
No.
I've seen the grand staircase exhibit in Branson, but I've never seen, I guess maybe it wasn't there when I saw it once. Apparently it has a ghost that wanders the grand staircase. Employees and guests alike have seen this mysterious woman who wears a black period dress with white collar and her hair in a bun. A photographer prepped for the opening of the exhibition. He spotted the woman casually walking down the grand staircase. He was startled and he hadn't seen anyone enter the staircase. It was roped off. He assumed she was part of the exhibit and asked if she'd like him to photograph her. She ignored him. He went back to setting up, but suddenly she was behind him. Again, he offered his photographic services, and this time she didn't just ignore him. She vanished.
Oh, wow.
Isn't there stories of someone on the grand staircase or the one in Branson, too?
Yeah, John Jacob Astor's ghost, because his room was at the top of the staircase.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that was kind of like the prime spot to have on the ship.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
Yeah.
He wanders there.
The exhibit at the Luxor also includes a portrait of J. Bruce Ismay, one of Titanic's builders. He apparently fled the sinking ship, leaving women and children behind. Witnesses on lifeboats claimed he kept his back to the ship as it descended. And allegedly, he was the one insisting the ship speed up after receiving ice warnings. Perhaps it's not too surprising, then, that the ghost of the Titanic seemed to dislike him. One early morning, as the crew came to open the exhibit, they found the portrait of Ismay on the floor. The manager watched the surveillance video from the night before and was stunned to see the picture being shaken before coming off the wall, apparently on its own accord.
Yeah, I could see that. I would do that, too.
Do more than take it down and be like, there's a fire over here. This is an interesting one. A ghost someone saw without even realizing it. In the case of this is actually not even on at the exhibit, but it's another Titanic related. In the case of the second officer, Leonard Bishop of the SS Winterhaven, That was exactly what happened to him in 1977. He was giving a tour of the ship to a man who he assumed was a passenger. This is a tour of the ship, the Winterhaven. The British man was very soft-spoken, extremely interested in every detail of the vessel, almost unusually so. Bishop found the man to be a bit strange, not unpleasant, just kind of strange. It wasn't until a few years later, after seeing a photo of Titanic Captain Edward John Smith, that Bishop realized the situation felt so off. Bishop exclaimed to a friend, "I know him. I gave him a tour of my ship." The friend laughed and informed Bishop that the man had been long deceased, and that was the captain of the Titanic. I want to see what the Winterhaven looks like.
So Captain Smith is going around touring other ships and asking questions and in his afterlife. And I just think that's weird. That's the first story I've heard about his ghost.
Yeah, I have. I don't think I've heard much about him either. Here's a true story. Although I don't know how true it is, but when we were children and I was obsessed with the Titanic, I remember being at daycare, because I go to daycare in the afternoon for a little bit. So I was, I don't know, 5, 6, somewhere or other. Uh-huh. And I was talking with one of the girls at daycare, another kid our age. I was going on and on about how much I love Titanic, and I had a book. And then she claimed that her great-grandfather was the captain of the Titanic. Now, this could have completely been a bullshit story of a little kid saying crazy shit.
Yeah.
And then I even asked, because I wanted to...
You wanted to verify the source.
I had to verify the source. That's what any good 6-year-old investigative reporter would do. So I had to verify the source. So when it came for pickup time, after fruit roll-ups, I went to kind of watch when she was getting picked up. And I walked over to the fence and I asked her mom.
Uh-huh.
And I said, "I'm just curious. You know, she said that her great-grandfather was the captain of the Titanic. And I'm very interested in the Titanic. Is that true?" "Well, I don't know if he was. He was the captain of some old ship back then. But I don't know if it was the Titanic." So, ship captain, probably. But Titanic, likely not.
That, or they don't want to be known as the descendants of the captain of the Titanic.
That could be true too. Don't want that rumor spreading around the preschool.
I mean, where would she have, you know, the little girl, where would she have figured that out? I mean,
yeah,
that's not something most 6-year-olds think about, is the Titanic.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it was just kind of one of those things where I'm like, "Oh, this is really interesting," you know? And
so what did the Winterhaven look like?
I can't find any pictures of the Winterhaven. I just did a search. So because I was wondering if it looked like Titanic, because there was a lot of ships from that era. Mm-hmm. Not too many who survived into the 70s, though.
What did you search?
Winterhaven. SS Winterhaven, because that's what it was listed as.
Try RMS Winterhaven.
RMS Winterhaven. Now I get Rhodes. Winterhaven ship. I just get
HMS.
All I'm getting is links to that story. So here's my guess on that account. The ship never exists. There is no Winterhaven.
Okay.
Somebody made the story up, and then you go look up Winterhaven, because there's archives of every damn ship that's ever been around. So I'm guessing that one maybe was more of a hand-me-down story. Museum staffers have been poked and prodded by many things on the ship. Ghost hunters have captured voices there. All sorts of interesting things. And apparently Captain Smith also haunts his former home in England. According to Louise and Neil Bonner, owners of the former home of Captain Edward John Smith, the shipmaster lingers in his house. The couple have spent the last decade renting the 19th century Victorian, and their tenants have reported feeling icy chills pass through them, hearing strange noises, and even seeing full-bodied apparitions of the captain. The property has also suffered a flood in the kitchen and usually cold gusts in the dining room. According to Mr. Vonner, some years ago, we had a single chap living in there, and he rang up one day, convinced he had seen the ghost of the captain. He was in bed when he saw him drift across the room.
So that had to be a little unsettling for Captain Smith's ghost when his house starts to flood.
It's like, was he trying to flood it? Was he?
Why would he try to flood it? I think he would avoid water at all costs, like, at this point.
Let's recreate the magic.
No, I think he's probably just like, I'm just going to go home.
Yeah. And then home's flooding. I can't fucking win. Poor Captain Smith. It'd be a great B&B. Would you stay there?
No.
No?
No.
Just to... As into Titanic as you are?
Uh-uh.
First-hand experience?
No way in hell.
People have also observed orbs over the actual resting spot in the ocean when they take pictures. Now, orbs are one of those things where I'm insanely skeptical of them. Do I think they exist? Yes. Do I think 98% of pictures taken of orbs are... legitimate? No. They're so easy to get with light refractions. I take a shitload of photos every single day, and I get orbs at least in 7 of them. But I can almost always explain to you how the light refraction is hitting the camera. And if you're over water and waves and lights, you're going to have a lot of light refractions.
I think it just depends on the picture. And I don't want to go through all the Titanic orb pictures and tell you which ones I think are legit or not. But
that's what you're going to do the rest of the day.
No, but I believe it. I mean, there's no reason why that spot wouldn't have orbs.
No, I mean, I think you're right. I get what, the likelihood of something happening there. But I also see it as being a perfect spot to get false orbs, mm-hmm. essentially, just because of the constant light bouncing off the water. I challenge almost anyone to go take pictures over water and not get orbs anywhere.
Yeah.
Especially on a sunny, slightly wavy day. It would be very difficult to not have not a true orb on your film. But if you see it, there's orb videos I've seen where it's, oh my God, it's almost like those videos of the balloons that move around. Like we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But when orbs kind of have that non-traditional path where it's like, there's no sense to this. Or if there seems to be some sort of sense to this, other than just you shifting the camera, that's where it seems to be more haunting, if you will. Here's, to me, this is one of the creepiest things connected with the Titanic. It was the Titan book, The Wreck of the Titan, written in 1898.
Yeah.
You're familiar with this.
Of course.
Yeah. And if you're not out there, the real life Titanic disaster obviously happened in 1912. There was a book that was released in 1898 with so many specific parallels between the sinking of the Titanic and this fictitious story that was in this book, down to names. The name of the book in the ship was called Titan, very much like Titanic, known as the unsinkable ship, not enough lifeboats to accommodate the passengers, struck an iceberg while going too fast in the North Atlantic. Both disasters took place in April. What the hell was it? Was it just because there was so much transatlantic ship travel at the time that it was, odds are somebody's going to write a disaster book about it. Just like, I guess you could write in today's terms, would it be like writing a book about an airplane disaster and then 10 years later, a similar airplane disaster takes place? But the names and everything, what really strike me is like almost, premonition-like.
Yeah, it's premonition-like.
What do you think?
I honestly think that's where they got the idea to sink the ship in the first place.
Where they got the idea to... What do you mean?
Well, there's a lot of conspiracy theories about the Olympic and Titanic mm-hmm. being swapped.
Yeah.
Because the Olympic was damaged by Captain Smith in error a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And so they, there are people that have claimed over the years that they actually switched the ships.
So, do you subscribe to the conspiracy theory of Titanic?
They took it out there. They had a ship supposedly supposed to be waiting in the right spot to pick up everybody. But they weren't in the right spot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. If you look into that, it's kind of convincing.
I would agree. It is kind of convincing. And I don't know. I don't completely subscribe to the theory, but I think there's a lot of very questionable things with it.
Yeah.
It is very, very interesting. And there's so many weird parallels. There was even, wasn't there something like about like video where they found the letter O on the side of the ship in the ocean?
Yeah.
Where something had fallen off and they realized, wait a second, looks like Titanic was kind of like attached to the side, not necessarily.
The letters attached instead of painted on.
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy theory. Yeah. It's one that I kind of am like, I could see that. They did it for the insurance money, but they thought, I mean, because there was a fire on the ship. Most people don't realize there was a fire on the ship before it ever sank.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one of those things where it's like, we'll never know the truth.
Sure. What percentage do you believe do you go with the conspiracy theory that the Titanic was actually the Olympic and the ships were switched?
Really? Are we going to do this?
I'm curious.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you where I am.
You go first.
I'm about 30%.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of stuff there that you go, it's enough to make me want to keep digging on it. Mm-hmm. And because it's like you get just enough and then you get just enough pushback when you're researching that makes you go, okay, because you can find stuff, but then you can find ways where once you find a point, how someone debunked it. And the debunking is about just as equally strong as the conspiracy theory. So at the end of the day, you're still kind of like, I don't know. Like, it really could swing either way.
Yeah.
What about you?
I don't know what my percentage is.
You just don't want to say it out loud.
No, I don't.
I don't know. It's so the floor tile that I have then would really be from Titanic, but Titanic before name change.
Yeah, before it ever set sail.
Yeah, so it'd be like the one that we see the pictures of in construction, but not the one that sank. Olympic would be the one that actually sank. Because the ship was listing, too, when it went out.
Yes.
That's another one of them. And Olympic was listing.
Yes.
And had a lot of issues. See, that's one of those. There's so many.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. See, now there's a lot of people that are going to go down this rabbit hole.
Down the rabbit hole. It's interesting. There's a documentary about it. I don't remember who did it, but I thought it was very.
Yeah.
I was like, well, for somebody who's been obsessed with Titanic their whole life, I thought it was very convincing.
Good luck going down the rabbit hole, everyone. It will, if you're into Titanic, it will enthral you for quite some time. If you're at all into conspiracy theories, it is quite interesting. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to help keep us on the air and get all of the extras. Until next time, for Jenny and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.